of that city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy!" The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. But I said, "I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all." Then I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy, holy, holy." Clapped my hands and sang, "Glory, glory to the Son of God." As I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones, they all knew me well. They showed me all around heaven. The scenes were too numerous to tell. I saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Mark, Luke, and Timothy. I said, "I want to see Jesus, the one who died for me." Then I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy, holy, holy, holy." I clapped my hands and sang, "Glory, glory to the Son of God." I clapped my hands and sang, "Glory, glory to the Son of God."
Me that I missed the offering, did you? Ushers, if you come for the offering, sorry to take a turn on the service that way. If you would, ushers, if you come, we'll have a word of prayer for the offering this morning. Does that mean I'm getting old, or I don't know? Yeah, right. Okay, let's pray for the offering, please. Brother Randy Smith, would you pray for offering this morning?
Thank you.
lot coming for the special, but take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 136. Psalm 136, please, as you find that, if you would stand to your feet this morning as we open the Word of God. Psalm 136, please. And we're going to read this whole psalm this morning. 26 verses there. You follow along as I read Psalm 136. And I think you'll kind of catch the theme of this psalm and of the message this morning as we read this, Psalm 136 and verse 1. The Bible says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all the flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven." Read the last phrase with me. "For his mercy endureth forever." Did you get the theme of this psalm? If you didn't catch it, you fell asleep somewhere in the middle there. The Bible says, "For his mercy endureth forever." I want to give you a challenge today from this passage about the product of mercy. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you bless this morning, the service we have. Thank you already for blessing so much. I pray that you'd use your word as it's preached and help me, Lord. Give me strength and wisdom. Help the soul that's nearest to hell that needs to hear about the Savior, that needs to trust in you alone today. Help me as I preach and those that are listening to hear, speak to our hearts all together. We pray in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Bible says in 26 verses and 26 times, "For his mercy endureth forever." God's grace is God's undeserved, unmerited favor that we have in our lives, and we are undeserving of God's blessings, aren't we? Undeserving of his favor, undeserving of salvation, his blessings. We are owed nothing. We deserve nothing. And when we start thinking that we're owed something, when we get what we really deserve, it's not what we were thinking that we wanted, what we would get. Amen? Unmerited, undeserved favor. But on the other side of that is mercy. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor, getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Have you ever pled for mercy before? Kids, have you ever begged your parents for mercy? The rule was given, you broke the rule, and you said, "Please give me mercy." Maybe the officer pulls you over, and you begged and pleaded for mercy, and you didn't get it. But aren't you thankful for a merciful God? If we got what we deserved, we'd be in eternity in a lake of fire, a place called hell. People are in this day and age demanding for more, going on strike. "I deserve more." And people are always asking for more. But it's funny how people aren't asking for more for others, just for themselves. But that mercy is what we actually deserve when we break the law, when we sin, when we break God's commandments, then we beg for mercy. We ask God for mercy. God, would you forgive me? I'm a sinner. I'm merciful. That's how salvation, that's how the Christian life begins, when you go to God and say, God, I do not deserve your salvation, but please forgive me. That's mercy. That's mercy, where God pardons, where God forgives, where God heals, where God doesn't give us what we deserve. That is mercy. Mercy is tenderness towards offenders, willingness to forbear punishment, readiness to forgive. Isn't it amazing how we have received so much mercy, but many times we don't extend that mercy to others? Where we've been forgiven of so much, we've received the mercy and the grace of God, haven't we? But many times we don't take that and return it to others. Are you thankful that we have a merciful God and his mercy endureth forever? Now, I want to encourage you with this, that God is merciful, but I don't want you to live your life pleading for mercy, right? We don't want to live our lives every day breaking God's commandments, and that God is merciful and God does forgive, but don't play with God's mercy, because God also is a God of judgment. Amen? God is a God of judgment, and God is merciful, but there's a time where you reach God's mercy, where God's mercy ends and God's judgment begins. And you don't want to play around with the mercy and the grace of God as well. He is merciful, don't get me wrong. He is gracious, but he is a holy God and he is a just God as well. I want to talk to you about this God of mercy this morning. In Ephesians 2:4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." He is rich in mercy. When we think of riches, we usually think of a monetary amount. We think of possession, that someone is rich by what they wear and how much is in their bank account. But God is rich in mercy. He is rich. He has an abundance of mercy. In Psalms 86, it says, "But thou, O Lord, art full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." He's plenteous in truth. He's rich in mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. He's rich in mercy. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ and from the dead." That he is rich in mercy, the Bible says. That he is plenteous in mercy, but also that he is abundant in mercy as well. And I believe, as we see in these passages today, that the mercy of God, it endureth forever. What a merciful God that we have. If we got what we deserved, we would have nothing. And if we got what we really deserved, we would have the punishment that God would have to bring on our lives for us being sinners. It's interesting, when we look at our lives, we generally see the good that we do, right? We generally lift ourselves up to where most people would say, "I'm not that bad of a person." And if many people would generally say, "Well, my good outweighs my bad," but when God looks at us, he does not see it that way. He sees that we're sinners condemned, but in his mercy, he forgives. Isn't that incredible? God sees our sin. He knows the punishment we deserve, but God extends mercy. He extends mercy, that pardon, that forgiveness, that willingness to forbear punishment. We've been deserving of punishment, but God has many times extended that mercy over and over again. As you look at this passage here, it starts off in the first three verses. You get a theme from the first three verses in Psalm 136. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." And verse number 2, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods." Verse number 3, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords." Receiving mercy should cause us to be thankful. Too many times what people do is they receive the mercy, but they turn around and commit that offense over again. Right? And they take the mercy given and turn around and say, "Well, I didn't get in trouble this time. I receive God's mercy now." Instead of taking that and using it as an excuse, not taking advantage of God's mercy, but taking that and turning back to God and saying, thank you. Thank you for the mercy that you offered, the Lord's Supper that we had today as a reminder of us to be thankful for the mercy that God has extended to us. Thankful for the protection that God has given to us. We're not going to go through all the verses here, but it goes through the Israelites as they leave Egypt and as they cross the Red Sea and as God protected them from their enemies, and that mercy provides protection. Aren't you thankful for the protection and the safety that comes from the Lord? Amen. Every day that we live is a reminder of God's mercy on our lives. Every day, the Bible says of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He is faithful. His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. Every day should be a reminder to be thankful to God, but a reminder of the protection and the blessings that come from the Lord, because we're undeserving of those things. I think every day you realize that God has given you life and health and strength and a job and a home and all the blessings you have, that shows you God's protection, but also it's a reminder of God's provision. Are you thankful for the provision, the providing that God has given to you in your life? That you have food and clothes and shelter and a church and the Word of God and air conditioning in the first week of October where it's almost going to be 100 degrees. Lord, help us. Be merciful. I'm ready for fall to come. I don't know about you, but then at the end of winter, I'm going to be waiting for it to get warm again either way. So it doesn't matter what we say. The Lord's in control. All right? The provision, the blessings that come from God. Every time you open the cupboards, you should be a reminder of the mercy of God. Every time you wake up and you have strength in your body and you have breath, that's a reminder of the mercy of God. Every time you go to your job, that's a reminder of the mercy of God. But too many times what we do is we open up the cupboard and we look at what we don't have instead of what we do have. We look at what we don't have with our health or our life or whatever God has not given to us, instead of realizing that everything we have is because of the mercy of God. The mercy of God, that I don't deserve anything that I have. It's all from God's mercy. It's all from God's mercy. There was a story that I read about a mother that once approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice and justice demanded death. And she said, "But I don't ask for justice," the mother explained. "I plead for mercy." He says, "But your son does not deserve mercy." And she said, "Sir," as she cried, she said, "It would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." "Well," then the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. He said he deserved justice. He deserved punishment. She said, "Yes, I know that's what he deserved. That's why I'm pleading and asking for mercy." You ever come to God pleading for mercy? Pleading for forgiveness? Pleading for help and strength and God's provision and protection every day? God doesn't owe us anything, right? God doesn't owe us anything. We don't deserve anything from God, again, but a place called hell. But only by the mercies of God, only by the blessings and the hand of God, do we have anything that we have today. That's by the mercies of God. And it's only by the mercies of God that we aren't punished to the fullest extreme for every sin that we have ever committed. Too many times that we hold everyone's sin to the highest standard of judgment, of punishment. If God held us to those same standards that sometimes we hold to others, where we have received mercy, but then we don't extend mercy to others, remember that we have a merciful God. In Luke 6:36, it says, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." As God has extended mercy to you in your life, guess what? I know me. And you know who you are. You know your past. You know where you've been and where you've broken God's commands to where no one else may know that. And you have received much mercy when it comes from the Lord. Haven't you? Much mercy. We come before God and we start demanding things from God or expecting things that are done to others. And we realize, God, you've been merciful to me. Merciful to me when I deserve to die. God has been merciful to me, and we should extend that same mercy. What does mercy produce? Three things quickly, because we're short on time. I know you want to be in church all day, but we'll try not to be too long on this. First of all is this: mercy should produce thankfulness. As we mentioned at the beginning of the message already, that mercy should produce thankfulness. How many times in our life do we receive a gift and a blessing from somebody else, and we don't turn around just simply to say thank you? How many times we're given so much in this country that we live in, that you've been blessed in your family, in your home, in your workplace, wherever it may be, and how many times do we turn around and not say thank you to the Lord? We don't say thank you to someone that has extended mercy to us on something we didn't ask for. We deserve that punishment, and we don't turn around and just say thank you. Receiving that pardon, that forgiveness, and it should produce a thankful heart. It should produce a thankful heart. In our society, we have such a sin of unthankfulness, don't we? It's such a sin of unthankfulness where we ask for everything that we don't deserve, and all the things we do deserve, we don't want those, and we have such an unthankful society today. As the psalmist said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever." To thank God and saying, "God, I know who I am, and I know what I deserve. Thank you." Right? Thank you. Mercy should produce thankfulness. Mercy should produce dedication. Shouldn't it? When God has been so merciful to us, he's extended salvation and blessings, and God has given us so much, and God has withheld so much that we deserve. And when we realize what we deserve, where I deserve to go, we realize, "Lord, with my life, should be dedicated to you because you've been merciful to me. You've been so merciful, and my life is now indebted to you." Realize this, Christian, that our lives are not our own. We're bought with a price. Remember on the cross, as Jesus looked out and he said, "Father, forgive them." They weren't even asking for forgiveness. He pardoned. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And God has extended mercy to those that didn't even ask for it. He's offered that gift of salvation that we do not deserve. And as a Christian, when you realize how much you've been given, how much you've been pardoned from, forgiven of, that should cause us to be dedicated in our lives to the Lord. But too many times we have such a casual Christianity where we kind of tip the Lord with our time and our tithes and with serving the Lord, and we don't give God back, and not realizing that we've been forgiven of so much, right? Been forgiven of so much. That should produce a dedicated life. Because God has forgiven me, I owe God. You can never work to earn your salvation, not for one moment. But I should serve God with my life because I've been forgiven of so much. I've been pardoned in my life. Mercy should produce dedication, but also mercy should produce mercy. A merciful heart realizes when God has given me mercy, that I should take what God has given to me, and that should produce and show in my life as well. When God has forgiven me, that I should forgive others. When God has forgiven me of so much, that I should forgive others of much as well. Because God has been merciful to me in bringing salvation to my house, to my life, that I should take that mercy that's been shown to me, and I should give that to others as well. I should take the word of God, and I should share the gospel and the love of God. You have a couple types of people today. There's some that think that they're too good to go to heaven, right? They're too good to go to heaven. And they think, you know, I can work my way there, and they're too good for the gift of God, the salvation of God. But then you have the other side that they say, "I'm too bad. God would never allow me into heaven. God could never save me. You don't know where I've been and what I've done." But understand this, that mercy is shown to all. Mercy is shown to all. Mercy that God has given to us He's abundantly given to us. He is, again, remember, he's plenteous in mercy. He's rich in mercy. And as God has given us that mercy, that we should take that mercy and we should show that to others. Doesn't the mercy that God has given to you, doesn't that make you want to tell someone else about your God? Doesn't that want to make you tell someone else about how good God is in your life? That if God could save your soul, that he could save their soul as well? That if God could bless your life and God could turn your life around, that God could do it for them as well? Why? Because he is plenteous in mercy. Again, you may say, well, you don't know where I've been and what I've done. Yes, but then you don't understand who God is. Because we have a merciful God willing to forgive, to pardon, to forgive, and to heal, and to create a new creature, a new person, a new life. That's the mercy that God has shown to us. But as a Christian, is that something that we're showing to others? The mercy that's been bestowed to us, do we bestow that mercy to others in regards to the gospel? When's the last time you have shared the gospel with someone else? When's the last time you told someone about the day of your salvation and you told them how God saved your soul from hell and shared with them that God loves them as well and that they could be in heaven if they would trust in him alone? Why don't we do that? Because we forget how much we've been forgiven. What would keep us quiet? I forget what I deserve. I forget where I should be today, how much I've been forgiven. And when I forget the greatness of God, when I forget the forgiveness of God and the mercy of God, then I keep my mouth quiet. But when you realize that God has abundantly blessed your life and it overflows in your life and you can't not help but speak about God, you can't help but speak about the goodness of God because God has been so good to you and you want to share the goodness of God with others as well. That mercy should produce the gospel in our life, and that mercy should also produce forgiveness in our lives, to where God is willing to forgive all of our sins, but yet we take the mercy that God has given to us and we withhold that mercy, that forgiveness to others as well. That's wrong. That's wrong to receive forgiveness and mercy but not to extend it to others as well. In Psalm 136, we read it. I'm not going to read it all again, but it says, "For his mercy endureth forever." Are you thankful for the mercy of God? For the forgiveness, for the pardon, where God washes away our sin and makes it whiter than snow. How could God do that? How could God choose to forgive all my sin, to forget about them? I'm not going to enter heaven one day, and I'm not going to, you know, stick out my chest and prove to God how good I am and how much I deserve to be there. I believe that we'll enter heaven with the head down, thinking, God, you're merciful and I don't deserve to be here, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, but by the forgiveness that God has offered to us. And I think the first words would be, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. With head bowed and eyes closed this morning, God is merciful. First of all, in the matter of your salvation, do you know for sure that if you died today, that you would go to heaven? It's only by faith in Jesus Christ that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to be the perfect and only payment for your sin. You trust in him alone by grace through faith, and he will save you. It's a gift of God, the Bible says, that you must receive. He paid for it on the cross, but you must receive it by faith at one time in your life. If you've never received that gift of salvation, you've not received forgiveness. You've not received his mercy. No one will go to heaven and please God with their good works. No one will go to heaven and please God with their church attendance and carrying a Bible. No one will impress God with that. Only by the mercy and the grace of God will we enter heaven. If you don't know that you're saved today, would you trust in him alone today? With head bowed and heads bowed and eyes closed, if you don't know that you're saved, would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? And you would say, I don't know that I'm saved, but today I'd like to know that. I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but today I'd like to know the mercy and the grace of God. I'd like to pray for you this morning. I see those hands. You can put them down. Would you like to receive the mercy of God? the salvation that only God can offer. In a moment, if you raise your hand, we have someone that's going to come and stand in the front here, and we could have you walk up here, and we'd love to show you from the Word of God how you can know that you're going to heaven. It's not by joining the church. It's not by getting baptized. It's simply trusting in Jesus alone as your Savior. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? I'll ask Brother James to come and stand here in the front. If you raised your hand, as soon as the ladies begin to play, would you step forward? And we'd love to have a man show you in a side room how you can know that you're going to heaven, or a lady show a lady how you can know that you're going to heaven. Maybe you need to come this morning and just say, God, thank you for your incredible mercy. With head bowed and eyes closed, as the ladies begin to play, would you come? If you raised your hand a moment ago, could we show you from the Word of God how you can be saved? If you step out for a moment, we'd love to show you. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to call you out. But if you would step forward right now, we'd love to show you that. Are you thankful for the mercy and the grace of God? Maybe as you're standing there or sitting in your seats, thinking about God's mercy, thinking about God's grace, receiving what we don't deserve and not getting what we actually do deserve. May we never get over that. Thank you, Lord, for the morning. Thank you, Lord, for your abundant mercy. Help us, Lord, to have that thought in our hearts and our minds as we go throughout the day. Please be with those that are being dealt with for salvation, Lord. What a blessing that is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening so carefully this morning. A couple of quick announcements before you leave. Again, we have a prayer sheet at the information station. It's our missions month, and these are all the missionaries we support by name and by their country or by their ministry. I want to encourage you to get a prayer sheet and put it on your fridge, put it in your car, put it somewhere where you'll see it every day, and pray for our missionaries each and every day. We put one of our missionaries on our prayer line every day and pray for them and their ministry and give a little recap about what they do. But let's pray for our missionaries. Every Wednesday night through this month, we have a different missionary come, and the missionary for this week will be here tonight, Brother Brian Hubbard, with Bearing Precious Seed. They produce, they print the Word of God out, and he'll be with us tonight. If you signed up to help with the Bible Assembly, or if you're even just interested what it is, we need you to be here tonight. They're going to have a training time after the service for a few minutes to go through each step of it. Can I also encourage you with this? Maybe you've done Bible Assembly for years. We need you to come to the training time as well. It will save Brother Brian Hubbard a lot of hassle with trying to redo some things, and just a reminder of what we need to do each year. But if you sign up to help with it, this is one of the greatest times we have in our church, getting to assemble the Word of God. And so we're encouraged about getting to be a part of that. A couple more announcements, if you give me just a few minutes, if you would, please. All the ladies and teen young ladies that are in the youth group are invited to a time of coffee, crafting, and conversation this coming Saturday, October 12th, from 2 to 4 o'clock here at the church in the fellowship hall, I believe. And so if you would help and sign up at the information station if you plan on coming, and if you could pay there as well, I was encouraged to remind you this. If you're not good at crafting or don't want to do that, you can come for the coffee and the food and that part as well. And so we want to encourage you still to come. This is for our teen young ladies in the youth group, as well as our adult ladies, $5 a person. Please sign up. And then October 31st, we have our annual trunk or treat, and we have cars that decorate up. The kids dress up and give out candy. It's a safe environment for our kids to have this time. If you'd like to help donate candy for this event, you can do that by the information station, and that would be a blessing. I believe that's all the announcements that we have right now. Tonight and each Sunday night and each Wednesday night, we're going to have an emphasis on missions. I want to encourage you to be here every service. I can't say there's one over another that I can promote or discourage, as that would be. But if you'd be here tonight, it's an encourage on missions, Bible assembly this Wednesday night. You want to be here. It's going to be exciting this month as we have an emphasis on the gospel. Thank you for being here this morning again. As we encourage already, just a reminder, if you head out on the West Side Road, exits there from the parking lot, and this side we're keeping closed for right now. We'll do so on that tonight as well. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Brother Jeremy Brown, would you come and close in prayer? Thank you for being here this morning. Let's pray.
Our Father, we thank you for the message we heard this morning. We thank you for the mercy of God that you have bestowed upon us. I pray that you would give us all a great afternoon and bring us back safely tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.